This is Steve Goodrich, known on the trail as Bird Shooter, and this is N2 Backpacking, a podcast for both hikers and backpackers. Hello and welcome to episode number 3 in the N2 Backpacking podcast series. Today on the show, we're going to talk to Steve Cobb, a.k.a. White Lightning, who spent a lot of time camping and hiking in his youth, but really entered the world of backpacking when he hit his 40s. Some of the topics today in the show, we're going to talk with Steve about how he eased into the sport, starting with day hiking and the Linfoot Hike In, where he did an overnight trip with some friends. Near Amicalola Falls State Park in North Georgia. Then he migrated to the amenity-rich backcountry sites of Lake Jocassee, a few that are on the Foothills Trail, which for the most part, very remote backcountry sites, but actually some well-maintained campsites in this area at northwestern South Carolina, for those of you that aren't familiar. And finally, how he did his first true wilderness backcountry hiking solo with his dog through the Kings Mountain National Park on the North Carolina-South Carolina line, just southwest of Charlotte. So Steve, I think, provides some encouragement for those of you that are thinking about picking the sport up in your 40s. We're going to talk a little bit about lightweight gear and how much that's changed the sport. And without any further ado, here's Steve Cobb. So this is Bird Shooter, and I've got Steve Cobb here on the podcast today. We know him on the trail as White Lightning. We're going to talk a little bit about how Steve migrated into backpacking from doing a lot of hiking with his kids. So welcome to the show, Steve.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So what I thought maybe we'd do to start out is talk a little bit about how you got into backpacking. And I know initially you did a lot of hiking with your kids who are relatively young, and maybe talk through that transition. So can you think back to maybe one of your first hikes with your kids and where we went and how far we hiked?
Well, actually, before I had kids, I hiked with my wife some in the North Carolina area where we live here in Charlotte. And we did several local hikes, nothing overnight, nothing with much of a pack, just water and so forth. Then, of course, when we had kids and wanted to get them, into the outdoors and hiking and stuff, so we would we got actually the pack that you put on your back to put a kid in there. I can't remember what that's called, but it was beyond the Baby Bjorn. We had Baby Bjorn for a while, and then the actual pack for a kid. And
Kid carrier.
Yeah, we had the kid carrier, and that went really well. I enjoyed that, carrying them, and Elizabeth, my wife, did too. And it was a nice family time for us to be outside and be in the woods, and the girls were seeing things that they hadn't seen before, and their curiosity and just the whole experience and what they were saying. It was a great time.
Yeah, I guess especially in the day and the age where there's so much electronics and kids spend a lot of time inside. I noticed here you got a butterfly house that the kids are getting a kick out of. So,
right. Yeah.
Good to get them a little injection of nature.
Exactly.
But you obviously started this experience later in life. You're in your 40s now. I know,
right.
You really did the bulk of your hiking and backpacking, I guess, probably later in your life, so it can be done at any age. Another thing I think that helps is the gear. Much more lightweight today than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah,
so much easier for somebody to hike well into their 60s, 70s, even 80s if they choose to. Do you want to talk a minute just about when you first got into the sport, how you selected your gear, in terms of money, what you think you spent on your gear? Like, can you think back? I know it's been a few years for you, but trying to help some of the beginners out here.
Yeah. Well, actually, getting started, I mean, when I was younger, even before I was married, I mean, I didn't do a lot of hiking, but I did a lot of camping, and I did that with family. So that, you know, helped prepare me a little bit for what to expect to, you know, to be, you know, in the woods overnight, you know, have some experience with, you know, some of the equipment like a stove and so forth and a lantern and so forth. But anyway, when we started, when we got married and were registering for our gifts for the wedding, you know, instead of, you know, asking for pots and pans and plates and dishes, we asked for, you know, tents and our tent and sleeping bags and thermarests and Coleman stove and you know, all kinds of hiking equipment because, you know, we thought that would be a great activity for us as newlyweds and then later on, you know, with kids. So, you know, as far as the cost of those items, you know, fortunately to get started, we didn't, you know, purchase many of the things.
You guys were on the friends and family plan.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hooking up with gift items. That's definitely the way to travel. I like that.
And actually, you helped us with a lot of the selections of what we would need because, you know, I wasn't sure. You were obviously up to speed on the latest equipment, and so definitely guided us in the right direction there.
Yeah, I think you got a little help from REI too.
Absolutely.
Had a gift registry and
absolutely
friendly personnel that are happy to assist you in your selection.
Right.
So any favorite piece of equipment while we're on that topic and before we break into some more specifics on the trail?
Well, I really like my tent. I mean, it's amazing to me how lightweight the equipment is. I mean, you know, the pack, I can't believe how much the pack holds and how light the equipment is. The tent is so light. The sleeping bag is so light. Yeah, my favorite items are certainly the tent, and it sure is nice to have the thermarest, not just at night to sleep on that, but also, you know, in the evenings around the fire, having that as a, you know, as a chair rest, you know, as a support or cushion for the chair.
I'm a fan of that myself, although I've had many a flame take out my thermarest with a few embers popping here or there.
I heard some stories about that.
Yeah, but the camel takes pride in trying to put the thermarest out.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how you eased into backpacking. I understand one of your first trips to a well-known spot here in the southeast called the Linfoot Hike Inn, which is in North Georgia. For those of you that don't know, it's around Amicalola Falls State Park. Most of the people, I think, you're actually required to hike in from the park. And that, I understand, was your first sort of true throw a pack on, loaded down with some gear. You know, I know you weren't carrying a tent or a sleeping bag. Well, you probably were carrying a sleeping bag, right?
Yeah, we were carrying sleeping bags, yes. Yeah, that was my first what you would call overnight hike. Even though we were going to a place that had, you know, we were sleeping in a, I guess you could call it a cabin with, you know, bunk beds. And so we didn't need to bring a tent. We didn't need to bring you know, things to prepare food because this place actually prepared hot meals for, you know, the dinner and breakfast the next day. But no, this is right after Elizabeth and I got married, and we went with three other couples, and
sort of a couple's retreat.
It was a couple's retreat, and just it was awesome. And we did get some rain going in, I remember, and but it was a great hike, beautiful scenery, and you know we enjoyed the hike and enjoyed getting there and getting a hot shower. And, you know, going into the lodge with a fire going, and we had a hot meal and played board games and so forth. So we had a lot of fun.
So definitely breaking you in there, right?
You know, that was a break in.
You're getting rained on. It's pretty nice to walk into a sheltered environment where you got a bunk bed waiting on you, and you get somebody cooking you family style, very good meals, if I recall.
Right.
From my number of trips there. So, yeah, a great way to break somebody in, I agree.
Right.
And I think it's, just for those of you that aren't familiar with the hike, it's probably about 5 miles in. It depends which route you choose. There's you can follow the AT and drop over to the Linfoot Hike Inn, or you can also follow a, I believe it's a yellow-blazed, roughly 5 mile trail in. And you guys went in and out the same route, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
You know, another option that is doable is you could actually drop down from Springer Mountain or do a side hike to Springer Mountain, which is about, I think, 4.5 miles, but a bigger commitment, and I think the folks that run the Linfoot Hike Inn actually prefer or require that you start at Amicalola. So you'd kind of have to think through how you do that. But so let's talk a little bit about the Linfoot hike in just in general. I mean, you have hot showers. You actually have toilets, which I believe are compost style. They're not flush.
Mm-hmm.
There is a nice sort of social room with the fireplace, games for the kids if it's rainy or cold outside. There's a nice little patio where, you know, you can catch the sunrise from the east. How did that go over with your group? Because I assume your group kind of had a mix of some people that had done some hiking and probably some that had zero experience.
Exactly, yes, we did have that mix, and it went well. I mean, I think the people that didn't have any experience, you know, relied on those that did, and it went really well. I remember now that you could also purchase a sacked lunch on the way back, and of course we took advantage of that, and but the accommodations were nice. You know, the company was great, and the hiking and scenery was awesome. And it was a great way to start because, like you said, I didn't have to load my pack down. I, just took water and, you know, and
snacks,
my overnight bag and some snacks, exactly.
And, elevation-wise, you're probably between 2,600 and about 3,200 feet, so, you know, not anything crazy elevation-wise. Some other notable options in the southeast, Mount LeConte, which is a similar experience. It's in the Great Smoky Mountains. I've always wanted to go there. Very difficult to get reservations, by the way, at Mount LeConte. I think, you know, a lot of times you have to book weeks in advance. And I understand Linfoot hiking has gotten that way. If you go on weekends, you definitely need a reservation during the week, maybe not so much. But sort of akin to maybe in the White Mountains in the northeast, the hut system there, where they have caretakers and do food. Of course, in the Rockies, you've got the 10th Mountain Division huts, which I believe most of those are unmanned, but another similar kind of backcountry experience. And then in the southwest, if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, there's a place called Phantom Ranch, which, again, actually has a manned staff and, believe it or not, even a bar that opens up 2 hours at night after your 9-plus-mile hike down there. So it was a long hike down, even longer hike out, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll do a podcast on that another time. So to sort of migrate from your, you know, hiking with your wife, hiking with your kids to, sort of, I guess you can call it backpacking, but with a lightened load at 20 pounds to get to the Linfoot.
Right.
I guess the next step is obviously to, really head into the backcountry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was actually with you on this next trip. We talked about it on a previous podcast, which was down to Lake Jocassee. We went via the gorgeous State Park Canebrake Trail route. And you may have blocked it out because I know it was a tough hike out, but we dropped roughly from about 2,500 feet down to about 1,100.
Yeah.
So, pretty big drop.
Yeah.
And as I recall, you with the camel leading the pack, see a black bear on the trail. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It crossed right over the trail probably, 30 yards in front of us, just crossing the trail left to right and went into the woods. I mean, you had to be looking straight ahead to see it because it wasn't in our sights for very long.
Now, were you leading the pack or was the camel right behind you or was he leading?
I think the camel was leading and I was right behind him.
Excellent.
But obviously a little bit to the side so I could see the bear going through.
So, I mean, that had to be a rush, right? That's probably your first backcountry bear. Now, I know you've seen wildlife in Canada when I've been with you and right out the front door, but it's one thing when you're in a cabin. It's another when you're on a trail and you're staring down a black bear.
Yeah, right.
So, and I actually had an interview with John Zed, a.k.a. The Kid, just a couple podcasts ago, and we talked about the area because it is... black bears are seem to be abundant these days. So.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the campsite because I don't know what you thought of the Toxaway River campsite right there on the Foothills Trail, but I was blown away by the one at least we had. Beautiful look out into the lake. It was to migrate you along this whole experience. What I would not call a true wilderness backcountry site because it had a picnic table, it had a fire ring, it had a bear pole.
Right.
So again, we're kind of slowly working you along here,
right?
But talk a little bit about that experience when we got down there. You know, the suspension bridge, which is 225 feet, pretty dramatic, runs right over the Toxaway River there. Just your thoughts on that.
Oh, I thought the suspension bridge was awesome. I mean, that gorgeous views and that was really nice. You know, going down to the campsite, I remember seeing the lake. We actually went in the lake. That was did some fishing, and that was great right there on the water. And you know, it was a nice campsite. It was nice, obviously, that you had you know, the fire ring and you know, the picnic table and so forth. But no, it was just, I remember I think the weather was good, and it was great. It was a great group of guys to be with. And you know, on that one, yes, the hike was different in a sense that, first of all, it was longer, and also now I'm carrying, you know, the full pack. I got my tent with me, and sleeping bag, Therm-a-Rest. Yeah, I packed in some food and some beverages, and but yeah, it was, you know, the added weight added a little bit more challenge to the hike, but you know. You know, like I've always said, my favorite parts of hiking are actually the hike itself. I mean, I don't. The weight, I guess I haven't been on a hike long enough where that has really become an issue. But I like the hike, and then of course the evening, once the campsite's set up, you got your tent up, and you know, everybody's around the fire, and you're having a beverage and having dinner and sitting by the fire. It's awesome.
Yeah, and so the Linford hike was about the same distance, actually, so right around 10 miles.
Okay.
In the case of the Lake Chickasee hike, about 10 miles again, but this time you earned it, right? You get, like you said, you
had a full pack. Right.
And coming out of that gorge is no pushover, as I'm sure you recall.
Yeah, that's right.
At the time of year we were there, it was very hot as well. Mm-hmm. I remember cooking on the way out, and I think we got hammered with a thunderstorm. Like
on the way out, we did.
I mean, yeah. About exactly when we got to the car, so we kind of got lucky.
I remember that.
But and then, you know, I think another thing for the listeners here that's relevant is because this site is pretty backcountry. You're mostly down there with just backpackers. Now, a few boaters were able to get in. I guess if the water's high enough, if it's a wet season, maybe early in the season when the dam has not released a lot of water, the boats could get back in there. But during our trip, I think we only saw a couple kayakers because,
right.
I mean, literally for them to get back up in there, they would have to drag their kayak probably 500-800 yards at least.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The kayakers we saw looked pretty just exact. I mean, completely whipped by the time they got there. So. It was, what, probably 98% backpackers camping back there.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. So to take it, I guess, to the next step, we do a Kings Mountain hike, which not only was that a true backcountry experience for you because essentially just a wilderness campsite, no showers, right. No toilets, no picnic tables, no fire rings, no bear poles. I mean,
right.
Now you're really backpacking.
Right.
But not only did you choose to obviously join us, but you hiked solo. This was your first solo hike, right?
Right. Yeah, I met you at the site.
It would have probably about 5 miles, so
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
not a pushover hike by any means. Talk about hiking solo for the first time. What was that like?
Well, I wasn't completely solo. I had my dog with me, and Katie was a real trooper. I felt good having Katie there, and actually the hiking solo didn't bother me. I mean, I prefer hiking with other people, but you know, having Katie there, it was an adventure for both of us. I mean, she really enjoyed the hike, and you know, it was pretty straightforward where we were going. I mean, it was easy to follow the trail and so forth, so I wasn't concerned there. But it was real nice.
I actually enjoy hiking solo. I mean, you know, there's certainly a lot of reasons to hike with companions for safety reasons, but
right.
You know, assuming you're in an environment where you can be found fairly easily and, you know,
right.
You don't stray from the trail, I enjoy solo hiking. I obviously hike the AT and spend a lot of time hiking solo there. It's a great chance to sort of take personal inventory in your head.
Right, right.
But, so to talk about hiking with the dog a little bit, because now you got a pack for you. You got
right.
a pack for your dog.
Right.
You know, obviously, you've got a, you know, certain gear that your dog needs that, you know, now you got to think about, you didn't have to think about before. How was that whole experience? And was it challenging or was it not really a big deal?
You know, it really wasn't that challenging. I mean, we had a backpack for Katie. Katie is an 85-pound golden retriever, and you know, she was big enough to carry a little pack for herself. She carried her own food, and I think she carried a couple water bottles, and so she was pulling her weight, so to speak. And you know, it really wasn't that, you know, that challenging, because for her, all that was really needed you know, was her food and water, because she slept in the tent with me. And you know, there was, it really wasn't that much additional to bring with her, and she was, like I said, great. That size of a dog, she was able to handle that hike without any problems.
And for those that are actually familiar with the book that my wife and I put out, Best Hikes with Dogs, Katie's actually in the book. You'll see some shots of her. Unfortunately, she's not with us anymore.
Right.
She has since passed, as many of the dogs have in the book. I mean, there's, now that I'm thinking through it, very few of them are still alive, but
right.
Now you have another golden retriever, male.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten him out though yet on a backpack.
Right,
sure.
Right. He would be ready. Yeah, we rescued another golden retriever, this time a male. It looks a lot like Katie, also large for the breed. And but yeah, he needs to get out there on the hike. I think we're talking about maybe going this afternoon and taking one little one.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, the hike at Kings Mountain is actually on the South Carolina-North Carolina border. There's a state park and a national military park. We, in this case, had hiked the Kings Mountain Trail, which it was about 16 miles in and out. We did a little short side hike up Browns Mountain, which Browns Mountain is roughly around 1,000 feet in elevation, somewhere right around there. And this is actually a pretty gentle backpacking experience. You're looking at elevation between 600, maybe 1,000 feet. Again, probably, you know, if you're just starting out, a great place to sort of break yourself in. And
yeah,
if you want to subscribe to the Steve Cobb, a.k.a. White Lightning experience, you know, you can hit Linfoot and then kind of work your way up to backcountry trips, because this is a true backcountry trip. Any other advice just on the transition? I mean, it sounds like you played it perfectly, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the what I would recommend is talking to somebody who's done it. I mean, they tell you exactly what you need to bring. I think most people tend to overpack, and but, you know, like we mentioned earlier, with the equipment being so light, I didn't have that issue. And going with you guys brought in a lot of the food. But, you know, I just thought of something. Another thing that I would really recommend that I didn't do is test out all of your equipment before you go on your hike. I did not assemble my tent the first time at home before I went on this trip, and we had an issue with one of the elasticity in the rods that were, you know, that you put together for the tent. One of them, you know, wasn't working correctly, which would have been easier to fix at home. But you know, other than that, the rest of the equipment was very straightforward, and the tent would have been straightforward except for that issue with the rubber band inside. But so I would definitely recommend having some experience using or assembling your equipment before you head out.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Actually, when I was through hiking, I was shocked with the number of people that showed up at the start of the Appalachian Trail to hike for 6 months that had never fired their stove up.
Wow.
That had never pitched their tent. I mean, you know, you don't want to arrive at a campsite in a driving thunderstorm and be putting your tent up for the first time. I mean,
right.
And that can definitely happen.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, we appreciate you being on the show today. You know, I know
there's
probably a lot of people that think they're in their 40s and that, you know, they can't take on backpacking. They like to hike, but they haven't made that next step. So hopefully you're an inspiration to them. And, you know, we'll hopefully get a chance to get out here again soon sometime.
Sure, I look forward to it. And, yeah, I would say absolutely in your 40s and much older. I mean, I think, you know, it's a great way to stay in shape and stay fit. And, you know, I wouldn't hesitate at all in your 40s, 50s, or, you know, even 60s. So, okay, well, Stephen, I really appreciate it as well.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the N2 Backpacking Podcast. This is Bird Shooter, wishing you the best for your travels on the trail. To subscribe to this podcast, visit Apple's iTunes Store or download them directly at n2backpacking.com, the My Podcast tab. Music for this podcast was provided by the John Zed Band. For more information on this Atlanta-based musician, visit his website at johnzed.com. That's johnzed.com. Or search for his latest release through iTunes. This podcast is a production of N2 Backpacking and is copyrighted by N2 Ventures, Inc. For more information or to provide feedback or comments on this or future shows, please visit us at n2backpacking.com. That's little n, number 2, backpacking.com.
Thank you.